Well, things went south pretty quickly for Peter, didn't they? Remember the high praise that he received last week when he proclaimed Jesus to be the Messiah. Jesus says, oh, you're Peter, you're the rock on which I'm going to build my church, and the gates of the netherworld are not going to prevail against it. And now, just a few minutes later, this is the second part of that gospel passage, Jesus says to the same guy, get behind me, Satan. Ouch, right? How quickly we can fall from grace. And yes, it is easy for us too, brothers and sisters, to fall into the same trap that Peter does here, namely being a fair-weather disciple. He's fine with proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. Yeah, that's great. But doesn't much like the idea of a suffering Messiah. In other words, he wants the glory, but not so much the pain. And that probably sounds familiar, right? The problem is that Peter is, as Jesus says, thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. And this makes him an obstacle to Jesus. An obstacle. We too become obstacles to Christ when we reject the cross and all the amazing fruits that come from it. In fact, by rejecting the cross, we reject the glory of the resurrection and lead others down the wrong path as well. The path away from salvation, which only comes through the cross. And this just isn't the Christian life. As Christ himself says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's the Christian life right there. And it's the best and most excellent way to live in and through the cross with Jesus. But again, all this talk of self-denial and embracing suffering seems like a bit much to those who aren't thinking as God does. As we see in today's first reading, even the great prophet Jeremiah falls into this this trap, and he's not immune to this tendency to think as humans do. As we heard, he wholeheartedly wants to follow God, but struggles with the difficult circumstances that inevitably result at times from walking with the Lord. And to be sure, Jeremiah endured a great many hardships. We remember when he was thrown into the cistern, that nasty cistern, and he sunk up to his neck in mud. who knows how long he was in there, but pretty nasty. And then he was imprisoned. He died in exile in Egypt. He was definitely a type of Christ in the Old Testament, a prefigurement of the Lord, a suffering prophet for sure. God entrusted him with some pretty tough messages that made him an object, as he's in his own words, of laughter, mockery, derision, and reproach. Even worse, as we just covered. Yet, somehow he perseveres and allows God to lead him from within. We get this beautiful glimpse into the inner life of Jeremiah today. I will not mention him. I will speak in his name no more. He's had enough of this preaching the good news stuff and all the trouble that comes with it. But then it becomes like fire burning in my heart. I grow weary holding it in. He's been wounded by the love of God, and the Lord wins him over. The fire of the Holy Spirit triumphs within him. And the rest is history. We have the book of Jeremiah. We read from it frequently. We learn from him. We're nourished by his witness to the Lord because he hung in there with the Lord and allowed the Lord to lead him, to guide him, to purify him over time. Many centuries later, St. Paul comes along and picks up on the same theme. And he goes a step further by providing the roadmap for welcoming Christ in his cross and thereby living our best lives. I urge you, he exclaims, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. This spiritual worship that he's talking about here, it encompasses the whole person. It's not just like a kind of a spiritual thing on the side and we have our physical body thing, because he just said, give your bodies as a spiritual worship, right? In some translations, you'll see it rational worship. And what he means is going all in for the Lord, every aspect of your being, total surrender. That's what Paul's talking about here. And note that this sacrifice is living. Which you might think, that's interesting, because all the other sacrifices are, by nature, they're killed, right? You, and that's what you do. You offer up an animal or a wheat offering or whatever it is. This one's living. That's strange. Well, the only living sacrifice that I've ever become aware of is Jesus Christ. He died, but he rose, right? He rose. He triumphed. And what Paul's getting at here is for us dying to ourselves, rising to new life in Christ, making ourselves, making our entire lives a living sacrifice. And if you listen, in the liturgy of the Eucharist, most of the Eucharistic prayers touch on this living sacrifice. You'll hear it today. I encourage you to listen. And that's a direct link to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So again, Paul's talking about a total gift of yourself to God, but it's only possible through the mercies of God. Notice Paul said, I urge you by the mercies of God. It's only through him that we can embrace the cross, that we can walk the path of ongoing conversion. And that's the only way that we can get over ourselves and give ourselves to him completely. Now here's the second verse. Paul continues. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, to borrow a word from Jeremiah from that first reading, if you're going to be duped by God, not by this age and all of its deceptions and false gods. Allow God to purify your whole being, your whole person, so that you can think like him and live in him. Only then can you truly know what is good and pleasing and perfect. Our world often claims to know what is good and pleasing and perfect, but many times, perhaps even most times, is dead wrong. Now, you might be wondering what it looks like when a person does actually live like this, in this manner. Well, the psalmist in today's responsorial has you covered. And this is the beautiful Psalm 63. Those of you that have come to confession with me, probably every single one of you has received this as part of your penance. It's definitely one of my favorites. It's a beautiful gem. And here we find a soul that's thirsting and yearning, not for self-gratification, but for God, for deeper relationship with him. We heard, for you my flesh pines and my soul thirsts. Thus have I gazed toward you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Beautiful. This is a person deeply in love with God. God is clearly the center, the primary concern of this person's life, and flourishing as a result. As we also heard, your love is better than life. That's actually a little different translation. That it's in the Liturgy of the Hours. Your love is better than life, better than anything in this life. His love is eternal life. As with the riches of a banquet shall my soul be satisfied, and with exultant lips my mouth shall praise you. Now this might sound a little familiar, huh? Pointing towards the Eucharistic celebration, this banquet, these riches, the greatest riches possible at the Eucharistic banquet. And we praise the Lord with exultant lips at the Holy Mass. You are my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I shout for joy. Taking shelter in the Lord, what's the result? The joy and the peace beyond all understanding. Okay, friends, the bottom line here is, don't be a fair-weather Christian. Think like God does. Otherwise, you'll miss out on the amazing life God created you for. And you might not even know that that's happening, that you're missing out. Yes, this definitely means that you can't run from the cross, but you shouldn't exactly go looking for it either. That's not what the Lord is saying. But you can't run from it. Remember that the resurrection only comes to the cross. It only comes to the cross. This is the only way to rise above mere earthly things and go deeper into relationship with the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So die to yourself and rise to new life in Christ each day. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that the Lord can reveal to you horizons far beyond anything you can even imagine and lead you further into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And brothers and sisters, this is precisely what you were created for.